Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my joy to welcome you to worship on this Palm Sunday. We're so grateful to have you with us, and we hope that this service is a blessing to you as you begin your Holy Week journey and experience. As we begin our time together, I just want to take us back to Jesus's day. If you can imagine Jesus on a donkey riding into the city of Jerusalem, Palm Sunday is our opportunity to remember this incredible story. It's our opportunity to reflect on the events of Holy Week in the beginning, that where it all started, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a donkey and crowds on either side waved palm branches, shouting that the king has finally come into the city of Jerusalem. It's in that spirit that we begin worship today. And we hope that as we gather for this time of sacred remembrance, that this service would be a blessing for you. So let us worship God together this day.
Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. On the Sunday before Passover, as thousands entered Jerusalem for holy celebrations, Jesus openly proclaimed that he is the Messiah by fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Join me in the opening prayer. King Jesus, lift us up on this holy day to walk in your path. Show us how to love our enemies and be peacemakers. Empower us to protect others, especially those being hurt, in the name of God. Open our eyes to recognize hypocrisy, especially in ourselves, and to be genuine in our faith. Remind us always to love as you have loved and live as you have lived. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and it will be sent back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Please join me in a word of prayer. O holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. As we gather on this Palm Sunday, we wave our branches and praise and celebration. As we hear the gospel message, may it come alive for us. May we have new understanding and new meaning of what this passage shares with us this day. O loving God, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in our sight, you God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds began to gather. People were entering the holy city in preparation for the Passover celebration. It was a time when the Jews celebrated and remembered their freedom from slavery in Egypt. And the city of Jerusalem, it would have been very crowded that day, upwards of 200,000 visitors entering the city. That was a pretty large crowd. As the crowds came to celebrate the Passover, the political climate got to be a little bit more intense. The Roman government was in charge, and they wanted to remind both those, the locals as well as the visitors, that they in fact were in charge. As Jesus entered the city that day, there were also two other royal processions taking place. Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor of Judea, also entered Jerusalem, and he entered on horseback alongside thousands of armed soldiers. He wanted to make sure that his presence was known that week during Passover. Now, King Herod also had a procession with his royal soldiers that day, making a grand and a powerful entrance into the city. Both Pontius Pilate and King Herod made their royal entrances into the city. They wanted to remind who was in charge, and they were the powerhouse, and they did not want the people to forget it. Any thought of rebellion would be squashed with people coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and to remember their freedom from slavery in Egypt. Pontius Pilate and King Herod wanted to set the tone of that week and to clearly lay out who was in charge. There would be no thought or action of rebellion. Rome was the authority. This is the atmosphere and the tenor of the time as Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. While descending from the Mount of Olives and making his way into the city, Jesus came too. He came riding on a humble donkey. And during his parade-like processions, the crowds saw Jesus passing by and they waved their palm branches in the air. They laid cloaks on the ground before him, and they waved their palm branches, and they said, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." As the crowds shouted, they were calling out to Jesus for him to save them. The word Hosanna, it's translated in Hebrew meaning save, please. These people gathered, they watched Jesus enter the city, they shouted and they asked for them to be saved. And saved from what? Saved from their daily persecution of their lives. They hoped that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah and King who would rule not with an iron sword of Rome power and authority, but that he would rule as the Prince of Peace, who would bring forth God's kingdom here and now. When the crowds praised Jesus and they shouted to be saved, they were also making a political statement against the Roman government. In her book, Entering the Passion of Jesus by Amy Jill Levine, she writes, quote, "Politically and historically, for Jesus to come into the city and have people hail him as son of David or conquering king is dangerous. Rome's agents, including the governor Pontius Pilate, recognize that when the crowds hail a new hero, they are also challenging Roman authority. So in waving their palm branches, they're challenging authority. They cried out to Jesus as king." Well, those very shouts from Palm Sunday would soon turn to different shouts on Good Friday. From shouts of "Hosanna, save us," the crowds would soon shout, "Crucify him, crucify him," on Good Friday. But before we get to that point of the Holy Week story, we remember the parade. We remember the shouts of praise to the Prince of Peace, the King, and the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. This was the scene as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And this is the scene in which the events of Holy Week begin, as the tension begins to rise. This morning we heard the story according to Mark's gospel. And when we look to Matthew's gospel, we hear a very similar account, but with additional context, with an additional few lines of context of the day to give us a few more insights of the feeling, of the thought, of the environment that day. From Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, we read, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, 'Who is this?'" Certainly there was turmoil in the air. We understand that context now. And additionally, the question, "Who is this?" is a fantastic question that the crowds asked that day. During Holy Week, we find ourselves asking this very question, "Who is Jesus?" as we've walked in his footsteps over this Lenten journey. Over these past 6 weeks, we find ourselves studying this wide landscape of Jesus' ministry. And yet we can still ask, "Who is Jesus?" He's the healer of the sick, recovering sight to the blind and enabling persons to speak again, cleansing the lepers and ending the pain of bleeding, healing the paralyzed man to walk again as he was lowered through the roof, and even raising Lazarus from the dead. He led a great healing ministry in Capernaum, where that was his home base for 3 years of public ministry. Who is Jesus? As we wave our palm branches and in shouts of praise, "Who is Jesus?" we ask. He is the great teacher among us, teaching of the kingdom of God. His teachings called the disciples then, and they call us today to love our enemy, to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus teaches us and beckons us and calls us to walk pathways of peace, to be a part of the crowd that follow him in the pathway of peace, not the crowds that were gathering in praise of King Herod or Pilate, and to be a part of building the kingdom of God here and now. Who is Jesus? He's known for calming the sea. He brought peace in anxious times, showing strength and peaceful power. Today, Jesus also calms our storms and leads us from faith into life, from fear into faith. Who is Jesus? He welcomed the sinner, the outcast, the poor. He sought to include those on the margins of society, and he loved those thought to be unlovable. As we enter this Holy Week season, and as we look back over the past 6 weeks of Lent, we remember all of these stories of Jesus that we've studied that have highlighted his ministry, the breadth of his ministry, a ministry that calls us to follow in his footsteps, a ministry that begs of us to think how we are serving and living and leading as his modern day disciples. A ministry that leads us to follow in the way of peace and to wave our palm branches in celebration of this great Prince of Peace. So now, as we enter this Holy Week, may we too have courage to walk with him to the upper room, to break bread and to receive the cup, to have our feet washed, and to receive the call to go forth and serve as he has done. May we follow him to the cross, where we experience his suffering, and come to think about the great suffering of the world, and to think about those who are suffering today, and then experience his last breath as he experiences death upon the cross. Then may we walk to the tomb with Mary and look forward in anticipation to that glorious resurrection. But until then, let us wave our palm branches in praise, shouting together, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen.
Good morning. I am Sue Urban, and I am your worship leader this morning. I have an experience to share with you that I have shared with many this past year. When the schools in our county realized that because of COVID-19 outbreak, education could not look the same for the year 2020-2021, they offered both in-person instruction in Brighton as well as online virtual instruction. And so my daughter asked me if I could help with my grandson, Liam. Without even thinking, I said yes. It was obviously a good thing to do for many reasons. Now, I hardly ever jump into doing things without weighing all the ins and outs. But in this case, I just instinctively knew the choice I should make. but it kind of turned my world upside down. Now, the best part of this experience was the wonderful time that I spent with my grandson, Liam. I learned all about his likes. I spent a lot of time listening to him and his opinions about stuff. I saw the world through a 10-year-old little boy's eyes. I learned about his joys and his fears, what makes him tick. During the same period of time, though, I was watching what parents and school personnel were coping with in the midst of the pandemic. And my heart went out to the people who were trying so valiantly to make life better for the rest of us. Like many of you, my eyes were focused way beyond my own small problems. I frequently said prayers, often that I would have the skills needed for the next math unit, science test, or whatever. Once in a while, I would whine to my husband about trying to master the 3 new ways to multiply, and then I would catch myself realizing what other people were experiencing. Liam is back to in-person school now, and he's doing fine. I miss him as I notice that he has left some things behind at our house. Several sweatshirts, a mini skateboard, a lot of technology parts, headphones, etc. As we move into Holy Week, I think about Jesus and about his followers and how their world was upside down. They anxiously awaited the outcome for Jesus and for themselves. Those that were following probably didn't debate whether to go, they just went. And for them, the outcome turned out to be pretty shocking. In uncertain times that we've been through, like the times Jesus and his followers went through, our obvious comfort also and our refuge is our God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you've created an amazing world for us, and we particularly enjoy the spring season with its beauty and its promise of renewed life. We've come through a cold and lonely winter, and we are so anxious to experience normal. We loved not having to wear our heavy coats these past few days. We talk about Easter egg hunts and gardens. But God, we know there are still dangers as we await word from the medical community that all will be well. Schools will be safe. We can gather to sing. That we'll be free from the burden of fear of the unknown. We want to feel safe, and we feel like we're not in quite control of our lives yet. And God, we know that there are many who are anxious about having enough food for their families, having a safe place to live, accessing health care in case they become ill. Some of us have lost friends and family members and are having a difficult time with the pain of this loss. For many who have lost their jobs, their crisis is only beginning. And so we lift them up to you in our prayers, God. And most of all, we ask that you help us to notice the need, the pain, the loneliness, and the want, and that you inspire us to say, yes, I can help. This is the right time for me to step forward. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out, but yes, God, let's do it. Amen. And now will you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we've come to a time in our service when we have an opportunity to respond to God's word in our midst. There are lots of ways that we can respond to the message that we've heard today. And one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And we invite you, if you're able, to continue to mail checks to our church to support our ministries, or you can go onto our website and give through a secure online giving portal. We can't thank you enough for the gifts that you've continued to give throughout this pandemic. And we'd also like to invite you, if you're able, to make a special contribution to our Easter mission giving opportunity. Some of you may have received envelopes through the mail, and if you haven't received one of those, you're welcome to visit our website and designate that the gift would be for the Easter special offering to help us as we continue to be a mission, not only locally, but around the world. We thank you so much for these gifts as we continue to build God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hearts returning to you, return to you. In your kingdom, broken lives on you, you make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. The day, and in your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Jesus, Hosanna.
Amen.
As we end this time of worship, I'd like to send an invitation that you would continue to worship with us through this Holy Week. We would love for you to worship with us on Maundy Thursday as we journey with Jesus to the upper room to break bread and to experience the foot washing with the disciples. Join us online at 7 o'clock or at our Brighton campus for worship at 7 o'clock on Maundy Thursday. Then journey with us to the cross, where we experience Jesus' death and crucifixion. Join us for Good Friday worship at noon at our Whitmore Lake campus, online at 7 o'clock, or at our Brighton campus at 7 o'clock. And then we look forward to the glorious day, Easter morning, as we discover an empty tomb. So you're invited to join us for sunrise Easter worship at our Brighton campus at 7:15 in the morning, or online worship at 9:30 worship in our sanctuary at Brighton, as well as 9:30 worship in our sanctuary at Whitmore Lake, or outside at 11:30 at our Brighton campus for a glorious celebration of Easter. We thank you for going online and pre-registering for any inside sanctuary worship services where capacities are limited. Our outside services, that the invitation is wide and far, and you do not need to pre-register for outside services. So church, as we go forth from this time of worship, may we wave our palm branches in praise. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Go in peace this day as a follower of Jesus Christ, to walk in his way of peace. And we would also invite you this Holy Week to come to our Brighton campus and go spend some time in the chapel. There you're going to see a variety of prayer stations have been set up for you to explore, to grow deeper in your faith as you encounter and experience all of the events of Holy Week. May you come to know and experience Jesus more fully this week in the breaking of the bread, in the washing of the feet, encountering the cross and celebrating the empty grave. Go in peace this day, church, to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Condemned. I'm alive and well, you're
of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Oh, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. All right, next verse. Days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. And these are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
All right, there is no God like Jehovah.
Like Jehovah, there's no God 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 like Jehovah.
In our end. and is our beginning. In our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.